much higher. You guys can actually see me now, huh? I still look small. I look small up front, too. It's okay. You can get close to me. I'm still small. I'm pretty sure I'm from the dwarf family. It's This gives my band time to come up here, so I'm going to tell jokes about myself. No. First thing I want to say this morning without forgetting a beat is Happy Mother's Day. Can we give a round of applause to all the mothers? Amen. I'm thankful for my mommy. She was one of the most encouraging women in my life, I'll tell you what. Everything I did was perfect. Except for those few times. We won't talk about that, though. But before we get started, let's all stand together. Let's pray. And lift up our Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you right off the bat. God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for mothers, God, for not just mothers, but God, what mothers do. Lord, how amazing they can be in our lives, how encouraging they can be in our lives, how they go beyond, you know, God, to do whatever it takes to lift up their children, God, to God, keep us on the right track. Lord Jesus, they're willing to do, God, so much, and we're grateful for them, God. We're grateful for that role in our lives, Lord Jesus, God. And so, Lord, I just thank you for the mothers. And, Father, we just thank you for you always and constantly, God. Let us never stop thanking you in everything that we do, Lord. We give thanks to you, God, because you're an amazing God. And, Lord, we come to worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. God, let nothing stand in our way this morning as we glorify you, God, as we lift you up, Lord Jesus. Let nothing stand in our way, God. And, God, we will lay it down, Lord Jesus. Like a mother for her child, Lord, we will lay it down so that you be glorified and lifted up in this place. Let your will be done, I pray, in your precious name, Jesus. Everyone said? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's start this off with a little freedom.
Through you the blind will see, through you the mute will sing, through you the dead will raise, through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free.
You know what, let's sing that first verse again. Let's listen to the words we're singing here. Through you, Jesus.
Through you the blind will see.
Thank you, Lord.
Through you the mute will sing. Through you the dead will rise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am.
We are free because of you, Lord. Let's hear you shout from the top of your lungs. I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Dead will raise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free.
Just let them know I am free to run.
I am free.
Sing it again. So many things we're free to do. So many things that we choose to be free in. We let ourselves go, and we're not afraid. This morning, as we worship our Savior, you think about the depth. You think about the magnitude of His greatness. You think about how that He's taken your life and He's turned it around and He's given you eternal life. If we can just imagine that ever since that day that we laid eyes on Jesus, we've been set free from the bondages of sin. Not only have we been set free to run and dance and sing and shout and be joyful, but that we're going to get to be with Him one day. Guys, that's the greatest gift of all. I think we need to get our eyes set on that. Too many things we've been setting our eyes on, they don't really bring the hope. They don't bring a joy that makes your feet want to dance. But let me tell you something, we dance for a lot of things. We've danced for a lot of things in our lives, and we've got excited. I'm just asking you this morning, would you do me a favor? Would you get excited about your Jesus? Would you get excited about one day we get to go and be with Him? We need to be heaven-minded to think one day, hallelujah, we get to be with the King of Kings. Sing it with me. I am free to run. King of Kings. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got so much to be excited about this morning. Can we hug one another and welcome each other here at Pathway of Hope? And don't forget to tell those mothers how grateful you are for them. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and go through some of the announcements in the bulletin. And in your bulletin, we also have a connection card. And it looks like this, or a communication card, I should say. So we would really appreciate it so we can be connected to you and communicate with you. And if you would put that down, especially if you're like first-time guests and stuff, we would really appreciate it if you would put any information down, change of address, phone number and stuff. We would love for you to put that in there. Change of name because of marriage, you know, something like that. So, and then we would want to bring up a couple things. We have in your bulletin, we have on the women's, we have the women's Bible study, a new one coming up on Thursday. And it's on the book of Revelation, a DVD lecture series from Beth Moore. And it will be in the morning at 9:45 and also in the evening at 6:45. So whichever you can make it to, sometimes some women are able to make it to a morning, but then the next week they have to make it to an evening. So feel free to do that. You don't have to get a book. It's $15, but if you want to, let me know, and I will get one for you. So it's a really great series, and a lot of us don't like to study that book of Revelation. It's kind of difficult and stuff, but Beth Moore will bring life and really help us to understand. And so I just really hope you will be able to make it. And then we have the Women's Coffee Night. It is usually the second Monday of a month. But this month, because of Mother's Day and we had the mother-daughter tea yesterday, we're going to go ahead and instead of having it tomorrow, we're going to have it the following Monday, so Monday the 17th. So we would appreciate it. It's just a nice time to get together, relax, and if you want a coffee, you can. If you want to just get water, fine. You know, you don't have to do it. But it's a great time of fellowship. And then we have the Women's Walk coming up on the 5th, and that'll be Saturday, June 5th at 8:30. So, but go ahead and look through. We have the awesome youth program going on Thursday nights, the men's Bible study on Thursday mornings, and so a lot of things that you can look at going on here and things to mark your calendar in the future. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Then we're going to go ahead and okay.
Can you tell we like to have fun? I don't know about you, but I really feel like that so many times. The Lord really wants us to have fun, and sometimes we you know what I mean? Yeah, we repress that. We hold that in. It's like, let us enjoy ourselves. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're like a family, and we're here worshiping the King. What greater place could we be in? You know what I mean? Let's stand up again. Let's continue to glorify our Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard this song. I did this song. Honestly, it's kind of neat. Doug brought this to me. I actually did this song. It was one of the first church meetings we had with Pathway of Hope. I sat there with my guitar and a chair in Johnny's home, and Pastor Johnny, if you don't know him, and did this song. It's a really fun song to do. So if you don't know it, you'll pick up on it quick. Hey, there it is.
Your love has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your life, the air I breathe, be glorified.
Let's sing that again. Your love.
Your love has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your life, the air I breathe, be glorified in me. You set my feet a-dancing. You set my heart on fire in the presence of a thousand kings. You are my one desire. Well, I stand before you now with trembling hands lifted high.
We say to you, Lord,
be glorified.
Your love.
Your love has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your life, the air I breathe, be glorified in me. You set my feet a-dancing. Set my heart on fire in the presence of a thousand kings. You are my one desire. Well, I stand before you now with trembling hands lifted high. Be glorified. be glorified in me, be glorified in me, be glorified.
Your love
has captured me. Your grace has set me free. Your life, the air I breathe, be glorified in me. You set my feet dancing. You set my heart on fire in the presence of a thousand kings. You are my one. For you now, trembling hands if you have. Let's sing it again. You set my feet a dancing.
You set my feet a dancing.
You set my heart on fire in the presence of a thousand kings. You are my one desire. Well, I stand before you now, trembling hands if you have.
Just lift them up.
Be glorified. Be glorified.
Let's sing that one more time. Be glorified.
Be glorified.
Hallelujah. Be glorified, Lord.
Be glorified. Be glorified in me. 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 You set my feet a dancing. You set my heart on fire in the presence of a thousand kings.
Glorified in our lives. Ooh, yeah. Would you just glorify him this morning? Whatever words are rolling off your heart, your lips, coming out of your mouth, would you just bring glory to the Lord? Hallelujah. Just tell him you love him.
Ooh, I love you.
Test. Okay. We're on. Yeah. Blame the teenagers. Randy, those are your guys.
Just goes to show you don't need all this loud music to glorify the Lord.
Well, let me tell you, I love that song. I heard that song a couple weeks ago on the radio, and I just fell in love with it. And you know what it means for God to be glorified through your life? Do you really understand what that means? It means that every move you make, every action you take, every time somebody's looking at you and looking at your life, They see Jesus in you. That's what you're saying when you're saying, be glorified in me. When people look at me, when people look at you, they should see their Savior. And that just, I love that. I want Jesus to be glorified in my life. Yes? All right. We have a special baby dedication coming up soon. We're waiting on a few extra people to get here, so we're going to stall that till later in the service. We're going to move into our ministry of prayer time of the service of our prayer teams. Would make themselves available over here on your left. Anything that you need prayer for in your life, if you need God's touch on any particular part of your life, go to these guys who are experts at intercessory prayer, right? These guys know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. They know how to pray. And so go to them for prayer. Come to the cross and pray. Just lift up our requests before the King. You know, when before Jesus left, after he died and rose from the dead, and before he was raised back up into heaven, he said that he was going to send a comforter. He was going to send someone after him that would be a comforter to us. And that is the Holy Spirit. And we see in Acts chapter 2, we see when the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, says all the disciples and followers of Jesus were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Holy Spirit is still with us today. He inhabits each one of us that believes that Jesus died and paid the penalty for our sins. We proclaim with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we're saved. Some of us need a fresh infilling of the Spirit today. We're running on empty. Use this opportunity to ask God to pour his Spirit into you. God's presence is here with us today. The Holy Spirit is here, and he will top off like you top off your oil in your car. You fill it up all the way to the top. That's what he wants to do. It's today for you with the Holy Spirit. Fill you to overflowing today. If you need that today, ask him for that. He will give that to you. Let's come before him now.
Jesus.
anointed one, Jesus. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. It's Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Oh, and Jesus, I love you. Love you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Yeah, yeah. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. 'Cause Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Risen and exalted.
Risen and exalted one, Jesus.
Sing that again, Jesus.
Jesus. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp to my feet. 'Cause Jesus, I love you. I love you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. Love you. Jesus, I love you. Love you. Oh, and Jesus, I love you. Love you. Jesus, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Holy and anointed.
holy. We're so grateful, God, that you are holy. We just take a moment right now, just in silence here, and listen to the voice of God speaking to our hearts this morning. Just to break away from all of the busyness of our lives. And a time to just focus on listening to Him. Thank you, God. I thank you for the sound of life that we hear, even as we close our ears, Lord. Sometimes we miss your voice, and Lord, sometimes you speak through the sweetness of a child's cry, Lord. I think we miss that, Lord. Sometimes in this life, when we think distraction is really you speaking in our hearts. It's so beautiful to have life. To see what you're doing, God, and how you're growing us, and the beauty in a child. We are grateful, Lord.
Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, give me Jesus. Comes to die. Oh, when I come to die. Oh, and when I come to die. Give me Jesus.
Sing that again.
When I come to die. Oh, when I come to die. Oh, when I come to die. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus.
Babies were crying a few minutes ago. A few things went through my head. First thing was, we need to be like newborn babies, right? They crave their mother's milk. That's the way we need to be in our own lives. We need to be craving God's presence in our lives like a baby craves milk. The other thing that went through my mind was, baby Benjamin started crying over here, and then baby Morgan heard Benjamin crying and started crying back there. Isn't that a great example of how we need to be with the people around us? Because there's so much pain in the people around us, and all they need is for somebody to just come alongside and put an arm around them and say, man, I know what you're going through. Can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do to help you? God speaks even through little babies, right? Yeah. Prayer teams, you can be seated. Worship team, you can be seated. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings. While we do that, I want you to watch a video that I found for Mother's Day. I didn't get a chance to say Happy Mother's Day, all you mothers out there. I'm glad you could be here with us today. But this video, the first line is a little hard to read, but this is, they took a poll and they asked people what they wanted to thank their mothers for. So watch this video. So thank you, all you moms out there. This is quickly becoming one of my favorite parts of being a pastor, is baby dedications and dedicating them to the Lord for their lives. This act of dedicating babies to the Lord is set down, it's a principle set down in Scripture. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord, and he grew up and became the great prophet Samuel. We see in Luke chapter 2, we see Mary and Joseph taking baby Jesus to be dedicated at the temple. And we all know how he turned out, right? So, for all parents here today, this is what God has to say about the raising of our children. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And Ephesians 6, 5 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So Richard and Nancy, would you please step forward with Isabella? And also I'm going to ask any family that you would like up here with you to step forward as well. It means any of Richard's family, as well as any Alstroms, Parkinson's, Hintons, Jonathan and Evelyn are the godparents. So basically half the church, come on up here. Yes. I'm sorry. That's right. All right. This is Isabella. Richard and Nancy. These are the instructions that I give to you today. Love God with every ounce of your being and fiber of your energy, and teach Isabella to do the same. As you love God in her presence, you will model before Isabella a wonderful love for God that she will want for herself. Richard and Nancy, by coming forward before God and his people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your daughter, Isabella Renee Alstrom, to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." We do. Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and his people. So that Isabella may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers, do you, Richard and Nancy, vow by God's help and in partnership with the church to provide Isabella a Christian home of love and peace, to raise her in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage her to one day trust Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord? Also, I ask that the church make a vow as well. There's an old proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. Parents, of course, have first responsibility, but parents need the help and support of the community. So I direct my questions now to the church. Having come freely, I ask now that you make the following commitment to those who stand before you. So that Isabella may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers, do you vow, by God's help, to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, to help Richard and Nancy be faithful to God, and to help teach and train Isabella in the ways of the Lord so that she might one day trust him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, "We do."
We do.
Good. Jonathan and Evelyn, as the... Can we get that mic? Can you grab that mic for me, Jackie? Jonathan and Evelyn, as the godparents of Isabella, Nancy has asked that you pray over this family and dedicate them to the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, we just lift up Isabella, Richard, and Nancy to you right now, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just pray over this young, beautiful girl, Lord, that she will just be raised, Lord Jesus, in such a way that her love will represent your love, Lord Jesus, and that her joy will be from the Lord himself. And Lord, we just pray that this little angel that you've given Nancy and Richard, Lord Jesus, will just be a life-changing woman, a woman that the parents will look to and see the light of life, the light of the Lord in her. And Lord, let her just have a special mission in life, Lord Jesus, that her life will be able to touch others just by a look, Lord Jesus, by a touch, just as she has those beautiful eyes. Lord, let people see Jesus in those eyes. Bless Richard and bless Nancy, Lord Jesus, and just let them raise this girl and see your light in her life. Yes. And Lord Jesus, we just ask blessings over this family, Lord, that your spirit will move through them. And your angels, Lord, will be over them to protect them, Lord Jesus, and to watch over them constantly. And Lord, we just thank you for the love that this family is going to have and grow. And Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful girl's smiles, her joy that we see in her now. And we just thank you, Lord, for loving them. Bless this family. Bless Isabella, Lord Jesus. We just commit her to you. In the holy and wonderful name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
My wife Jackie has a certificate to give to you to honor this day. And yes, I'll sign that after the service for you, and you guys can each sign it as well. All right. Yeah. All right. You guys can all be seated. Thank you for being here today on this special day. So, a few things I want to let you know about that are coming up here at the church, okay? A couple of exciting things. May is packed full. We talked about it last week. Next Sunday, we are having a special 200 can challenge for the Catalina Food Bank. We are tasked as a church, right, with providing for our community, the needs of the people around us, right? One of the ways that we can do that is to help partner with the Catalina Food Bank to provide food for them. Back in the fall, we had a 100 can challenge that I gave to you guys, and you guys blew that number out of the water. We had like 180 cans of food brought back in the fall, and so I decided to raise the bar a little bit this time, right? Okay, because we've grown a little bit, and I want to see you guys stretched. So next Sunday, we're going to have a 200 can challenge for the Catalina Food Bank. We're going to have tables set up like we did last time, and come on in and bring your canned non-perishable food and put it on the table there, and we'll count it all up, and we'll let you know the total, and it's going to be great. What they asked for mostly last time, they said that their real needs were peanut butter, tuna fish, any kind of canned meats, anything like that, but people brought all kinds of stuff last time. They brought cereals, they brought all kinds of anything that's canned and non-perishable, you know, vegetables, fruit, that kind of stuff. So next Sunday, let's blow that number out of the water, okay? I'd love to see 400 cans of food. We'll need more than one table. We'll need like a whole string of tables. But I'm excited about this. I want you guys to put your faith into action. And this is one of the ways that we can do that, is by being Christ's hands, being the hands of Jesus in our community, showing them the heart of God for their lives. Every can that we get, we put a sticker on it that says, this food has been provided for you by Pathway of Hope. Gives our website address, gives our phone number, and it says call for prayer. Anything you need prayer for, they can call the church phone number, and I'll pray for them. And so I just really want to use this as an opportunity to meet the needs, both physical and spiritual, of the people around us. Will you help me with that? Okay. 200 can challenge next Sunday. Be here. Okay, the week after that, May 23rd, we're going to have a free barbecue. We're going to have burgers and dogs out there on the patio, and so invite people, bring them to church at 10 a.m., and then I'm staying for the barbecue around 11:30, 11:45, and it's going to be a blast. We're also going to have a meeting about a softball league that we're going to kick off probably in July or August, and you know, if you don't know, if you haven't been with us for more than a year or so, our church used to sponsor a softball league in the fall and winter months, and we do it right up here on the fields behind the school, and it was on Sunday nights, and we did it for about 4 years, and then last year when Pastor Johnny left and I stepped in as senior pastor, there was so much going on with the transition, we said, let's just take a break for a year, and so now we've heard a lot of people saying, hey, where's the softball league, what's going on? So I think there's a demand for it now, and we want to meet that need in our community, the need for fellowship, the need for entertainment, and at the same time, it'll let the people know that we are here on Sunday mornings. So we're going to have a meeting about that. I'm going to send out an email to everybody who used to play softball with us and let them know that we're going to be having a free barbecue. They can bring their families out. We can talk about softball. And so it's going to be a great week, 2 weeks from now. They can come to church at 10, or they can just show up for the barbecue, whatever they want to do. I'd love it if they showed up for church at 10, but I'm not going to force them to. So that's 2 weeks from today. So as a church family, you may see some faces that Sunday that you don't normally recognize. I ask that you be extra special friendly to them and let them feel welcome. And just let them know how much you appreciate seeing their face and get to know them a little bit. Okay? All right. So that's 2 weeks from today. So two ways our church is meeting needs in our community coming up here this month. We started a new sermon series last Sunday on the book of Judges, right? You guys that were here, you remember that? So we have a new series verse that we're memorizing as a congregation, and it's Judges 21:25. Put it up there for me. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Let's all say that together. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Take that verse home, memorize it, get it ingrained in your brain so that when the devil comes after you, you have ammunition to fire back with. And the reason that I'm asking you to memorize this verse is because this verse epitomized the culture of that era, right? This is the 350-year span in the book of Judges between when Joshua, after Joshua conquered the promised land and he died, and then between that time and the first king of Israel, there was a time of the judges. And during that time, everyone was just basically doing whatever they wanted. Whatever felt good to them, they did. They had no standard for morality. And It's the same way in our culture today, isn't it? Yeah, everyone is just doing whatever they think is right, whatever God you want to worship, whatever thing you, if you're okay with it, then go for it, when this should be our standard. This is absolute morality. There is no gray area. It's in the Bible or it's not. It's right or it's wrong. And so often in today's culture, we get sucked into, well, it feels good. Everybody else is doing it. And what we should do is we should take it back to the Bible and say, what does God have to say about it? Right? Don't just do as you see fit. Don't just do what you want to do. Do what God wants you to do. Amen? So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 4, that's where I'm going to be at today. During this five-week study, we're looking at a different judge each week, a different one of the judges, and I thought it was appropriate on Mother's Day to talk about Deborah, who was the only woman judge that's mentioned in that book, and she it says that she was a wife. I imagine she was a mother if she had this position of authority and leadership. People that weren't able to bear children were looked down on in that culture back then, so I think that she probably had a family, and so I think it's appropriate on Mother's Day to talk about Deborah. Remember, I gave you the background of the book of Judges last week. During this 350-year span, this was when Israel was going through cycles of sin. They would rebel against God. They would walk away. They would live for themselves, do their own thing for a while. And finally, God would get sick of it, and he would allow one of the neighboring nations to come in and conquer Israel and kind of hold them under their thumb and oppress them a little bit. And then Israel would come to their senses, and they would cry out to God and say, God, what are you doing to us? Save us. Help us. They repented. God heard their cry. He would raise up a judge, a leader, who would free them from their enemies, set them free again. And then usually during the lifetime of that judge, everything would be great and they would be, you know, following God. And then when the judge would die, Israel would start the cycle again of living for themselves, wandering away from God, doing their own thing. God would have to send another nation in to conquer them and remind them who he is and what he does for them. And so we see this cycle going on through Israel for this 350 years. That's a long time, right? I mean, the USA has only been around for, 230 years, something like that. So this is more than 100 years longer than the length of time the United States has been around. It's a 350-year span. So that's a lot of years, a lot of time that Israel was in this cycle. But if you want to turn with me to Judges chapter 4, let's read about Deborah. It's a long chapter, so I didn't put it on the screen behind me, but if you don't have your Bibles, you can just listen to me read it. After Ehud died, Ehud was the guy we talked about last week, right? Remember the lefty with the fat king that he stabbed and the sword went all the way through the king and fat clothes? Yeah. So Ehud died. The Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, lots of big words in here, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." So we see this man that God wants to raise up to lead Israel and conquer Israel's enemies. But Barak hesitates. He says, you know, God's talking to you. If you don't go, I'm not going. But if you go, then I'll go. So, very well, Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." And that's why I called this message Deborah, Prophetess with an Attitude, because she kind of fights back a little bit here. You don't trust God, you're not going to get the glory for this, you know. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zaananim near Kadesh. That's going to be important later, so remember that verse. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth-Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth-Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Remember the guy who left the other Kenites up above? Because there were friendly relations between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in, don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. "I'm thirsty," he said, "please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. And Judges is kind of a gory book, isn't it? Gross stuff in here. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. And it says at the end of the next chapter that they then had peace for 40 years. So that's the story of Deborah and Barak and Jael. We see that the oppressor this time, right, is Jabin, one of the Canaanite kings. The Canaanites were the people that were living in the promised land before Israel left Egypt and wandered in the desert for 40 years and conquered the promised land, right? The Canaanites were the ones that were there that the Israelites had conquered to take over the promised land. But the instructions that God had given Israel during the conquering of the promised land was he told them, wipe them all out. Israel, when they were conquering the promised land, they got a little bit lazy and they didn't wipe them all out. They let some of them live. And so because of that, this guy, Jabin, one of the Canaanite kings, is still around to oppress Israel during this time. They didn't follow all of God's instructions. And we see a man named Barak that's called by God to lead Israel's army and free them from King Jabin. But the central figure of this story, the one who really got the glory for it, is this woman, Jael, right? She's the one who actually got to kill the head of the snake. He got to kill the commander of the armies. Because Barak didn't trust what God had said. So Jael got the glory. So a few principles I want to look at quickly through this story of Deborah and Barak. First thing I want you to note, you can write this on your note sheet if you like, is we need to follow through on all of God's instructions. Don't leave anything out. Could be costly, maybe not even right away, but like the Israelites, hundreds of years later, they're feeling the pain from not obeying God completely. What kind of instructions are we supposed to follow? Where do we find God's instructions? Sometimes God will speak to us. You know, if you get closer and closer to God, you'll start to recognize that still small voice inside you, and you know that that's God speaking to you, telling you what to do. When you hear that voice, act and follow all of those instructions. But the place where we find most of God's instructions is in God's Word. If you're reading God's Word, you're seeing the principles and the commandments and the ideas that he's laid out in here for a successful life. Everything in here, if you follow all the instructions in here, you will have a successful life by God's standards. What kind of things are in here? What kind of instructions do people tend to leave out when they're inconvenient? Instructions like the principle of tithing, right? 10% of your income going to the church. You know, it's a principle that God has laid down in Scripture. And if you do it, he promises you're going to be blessed. But some people, they look at their stack of bills and they look at their income and it's not adding up and they don't know. They think with their brain instead of their soul, instead of listening to God's voice, instructing them what to do. Follow all of God's instructions. Something as simple as do not lie. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it's just a little white lie. It doesn't hurt anybody. You're not following God's instructions. And it'll come back to haunt you. We've all seen it in our own lives and in other people's lives. A little white lie builds and builds and eventually it's out of control, right? Things like integrity. What are you acting like when no one's watching? Do you act the same when no one's watching as you do when they're looking at your life? You know, that's a principle that's laid down in Scripture. Morality. You know, God has a specific love of morality. What's right and what's wrong? And are you following God's instructions for morality? Or are you living like we've talked about, whatever feels good to you? However you see fit. The key is to not just follow God's instructions when it's convenient for you. But God has set up principles in here, like I said, that will lead to a successful life if you follow them. Second thing you can write down is don't hesitate. We see that with Barak, right? We see him, you know, he gets this command from God through Deborah to go and attack this king's army. But he says, it's a big army. They got big chariots. Lots of iron. Doesn't look possible. It doesn't look like it makes sense. So if you go with me, I'll go. But if I have to go by myself, I don't think I can do that. He hesitated. And what did that cost him? He could have been considered one of the great generals in Israel's history, alongside Joshua, alongside Joab later, who was the general for King David. He could have been considered one of the greatest generals in Israel's history. But instead, the glory went to somebody else. And he didn't accomplish everything that God had for him in his life because he hesitated. So when you receive God's instructions, whether it's that still small voice inside you that you're going to start to get to know better and start to recognize that that's what that is. Or you're reading your Bible and something jumps out at you and you know that's from God. Don't hesitate. Act. If you hesitate, you may miss the opportunity. What it means when you hear God's voice giving you a specific instruction of something to do, it means that God's getting ready to do something special. And he wants you to be a part of it. Right? Yeah. Even if it doesn't seem like it makes sense, right? Because sometimes, you know, to an outsider, to someone who isn't a believer, the concept of tithing seems crazy, right? Take 10% of your income and give it to the church in exchange for nothing. You know? That doesn't seem like it makes any sense. But we know. You know, we know that we're going to be blessed if we do it, and we know that's an instruction that's given to us by God. So don't hesitate when you hear God's voice. Obey. Third thing you can write down is that God can use anybody, even you. You may think you're not worthy. You may think you don't have the skills to be used by God. You may think that you're not good enough or smart enough. But God wants to use you, and He will. God chose to use the wife of a clan chief to save Israel that day. He can use anybody. Don't ever think that you're not good enough or strong enough or worthy enough to be used by God. Because that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil who's trying to distract you. Don't let that doubt creep into your mind. Don't wait until you're closer to God to be used by Him. Don't wait until you're a better person to be used by Him. He wants to use you today just as you are, the place you are at in your life. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to impact somebody's forever, somebody's eternity. It's not about being knowledgeable. It's not about strength. It's about being available. It's about being available. God, I am here. Use me. Whatever you want to do with my life, let me know. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going to do it. I'm going to act. I'm going to follow all of your instructions to the letter. Are you willing to do that? Are you available? Are you ready to be used by God? Because it's a mind-blowing experience when it happens. Let's all bow our heads. You know what I find is amazing with all our heads bowed and our eyes closed? The God of the universe, the God that commands armies and nations, wants to know you personally. And that just blows my mind every time I think about it. He wants a personal relationship with me. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your mentor. He wants to change your life. If you've never made that decision to start a relationship with God, would you look up at me right now, and I want to pray with you. I see you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Let's all pray this together as a congregation. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin, paying that penalty so that I can be with you in heaven forever. I want to be in a relationship with you. Come into my heart. Take over my life. Be my God. Be glorified in me. Amen.
Thank you.
you made that decision today to give God control of your life for the first time, come see me after the service. I've got a free Bible for you. I'd love to give it to you for you to take home and start your new spiritual journey of getting to know your Savior and your King. I'm excited. Yes. You know what? Every time somebody's saved, there are angels rejoicing in heaven. And that's what's going on right now. Dismiss you this morning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Thank you, church family. Don't forget your cans next Sunday. You're dismissed.
Ladies, I also wanted to let you know the flowers, the carnations, there's some there on that table. There's some on the way to get your children. Please take them. Take one each, please. And if your mother has passed away or she isn't there with you, please take a carnation in memory of your mother.